This morning, I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 1.
The Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene, early when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. Again, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to celebrate your resurrection and the eternal life that you have purchased, Lord, through your shed blood and through rising again. Lord, we know that we have a life that is unending, and we thank you for that. We ask that you would bless your word to your people this morning. May you be honored and glorified. Lord, empower the service by your Holy Spirit. Fill us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, that we might worship you in spirit and truth. And again, Lord, that you might be honored and glorified, and our lives strengthened and drawn closer to you and empowered to be the witnesses of your great grace. Bless, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is "The Stone Taken Away from the Sepulchre." The stone taken away from the sepulchre, or a revelation of the resurrection. A revelation of the resurrection. And that's really what these disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ during this time had experienced. But I want you to know, all of the Lord's disciples knew of the crucifixion, did they not? They saw the crucifixion, but they didn't know anything at this point about the resurrection. In fact, they were sad, were they not? And yet there was a truth that had not been revealed to them that was allowing this sorrow and this heartache into their lives. So this was a sad situation in their lives. And by the way, listen, every believer, I'm convinced, needs to go through this. I mean, we don't really understand everything about the resurrection, and God brings us more and more closer and closer and to a better understanding of what we have in the salvation that he's given to us. So what kind of a situation is this that they're involved in? Well, it's one of dismay and misunderstanding. They're not really enjoying this time, and yet the Lord is still in control. But the good news is that the Savior is going to bring them into the truth that brought his joy and his peace. And by the way, he wants to do the very same thing in your life and mine. And that is God's will for his redeemed. And remember this too, because the world doesn't understand this. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that how many should come to repentance and know him? All. God is not willing. See, they think God is a mean, bad taskmaster. They know nothing of Satan, the prince and power of the air, who is causing all of this havoc and working on the old nature of mankind, the depravity of nature. And so therefore, we find people that are not being very kind today. And so should we be angry at them? No. Listen, they are only doing that which is natural, like we would do if we did not know the Lord. And listen, it'd be a shame for a child of God to act the same way as a redeemed, blood-bought child of God, to act like somebody who didn't even know him. And yet the reason why the world is so uptight and wound up tight is because they're only leaning, they have no Holy Spirit to guide them into these truths that bring true peace and true joy. And so all they have is what they can see, and they're missing out. But God wants to bring all of us into this great joy. And so this morning, we just want to take a few moments and consider three thoughts. And that is Mary's love and pursuit. This is what brought her to understand this revelation of the resurrection. Mary's love and pursuit, Mary's misunderstood sorrow, and then Mary's redirected revelation. And we thank the Lord for that. I just want you to hold your place right here so I can help you understand something. And back up to chapter 11. Do you remember this? John chapter 11. Do you remember what happened there concerning two sisters, Mary and Martha, and their brother named Lazarus? Do you remember that? And I want you to understand something. If we approach the Word of God this morning and say, well, I've heard this before, then that's all you're going to get. That's all you're going to get. But if you would say, Lord, I need to understand more about you and what you've given, because your ways are so much higher than my ways and your wisdom is so much higher than mine, I will miss it. And it could stare me right in the face and I will miss it. Let me remind you of something here. Remember, Lazarus was dead. The disciples didn't understand it. He was talking to the disciples and they thought, oh, well, he'll just get better. He'll be all right. The Lord's taking his time. He'll be okay. This is not a sickness unto death. And no, it was. It was a sickness unto death. The Lord shows up on the scene. And notice verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Did you see that? And so she is pointing a finger at the Lord. And she's using her understanding, and she has no clue what God is getting ready to do. And so verse 22 says this, but I know even now whatsoever thou wilt ask God, God will give it thee. Isn't that good? I know. She knew this. And I want you to know God revealed that to her, but she had a limited understanding of what truth she just spoke. She spoke a truth, and this was a truth, ready? I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask God of God, God will give it thee. All right? Look at verse 23. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Listen to her answer and ask yourself, did she understand what God was getting ready to do? Look at verse 24. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now that's powerful. Was that the truth? That is the truth. But did she understand what the Lord was getting ready to do that day? Listen, neither do you and I. We don't know unless we say, Lord, I need to hear from you. I need you to guide me that I might walk in your revelation for my life today. Oh, listen, for your honor and glory and for my blessing. And so what's taking place? Jesus answers her. In verse 25, and Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And by the way, listen, she is talking about things that are true. But did she know that her brother was going to raise again that day? No, she didn't. And so likewise, listen, unless the Lord reveals, and by the way, the Lord was explaining things to her. And let's just consider this. She says, I know, look at verse 27. She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she sat there and said, explain that to me, Lord. I need to hear about more about what you have to say. No, what did she do? What did she do? She went where? Her way. She went doing what she thought she needed to do. I'm not saying that she did something wrong, but she didn't even have enough understanding to say, Lord, what exactly do you mean? She was already assuming some truths that were true, but she did not ask the Lord, what are you going to do today? See, if we're not careful, we just think, well, we know these stories. No, no, no. How does that apply to me today? What are you trying to speak to me today? Because the Bible says that the word of God is a lamp and a light unto what? Unto my path, unto my feet. But if I don't believe that, and if I'm just looking at it and looking at his historical information, I'm missing what God wants for me today. So let's go back to our text here in chapter 20. And let's realize this. We need God to open up and reveal to us the truths about his resurrection and the power that he's bestowed upon every one of his people. So let's consider this in the first few verses here. Mary had a love and a pursuit of God. That's what is needed. Listen to verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark. Was she committed? I mean, listen, she got up before it was daylight. That's a good time to get up and seek God. And that's what she was doing. She was going to anoint the body of the Lord. She was wanting to take care of the Lord. But it's important for God's children to seek the Lord early. The Bible says, while he may be found. And what does that mean? Does that apply every day? Yes, it does. Question, listen. How many times, if you don't call upon the Lord early in the morning before you start your day, you get so busy that you may not even call him in the evening when you go to bed. That's the nature. Listen, we need to seek him early while he may be found. The application also is, listen, if we don't seek him early and say, God, I need you, chances may be real good. I'm not saying that you don't talk to him throughout the day, but where you really get alone with the Lord and say, God, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to set aside this time to call on you and to ask you for guidance, wisdom, and understanding on how to walk in this day. And so she's seeking the Lord very early, and she gets to the sepulcher. And the Bible says there in verse 1 at the bottom part, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Well, listen, that was a good thing. But she didn't realize it then. She misunderstood that stone being taken away. She thought somebody took the Lord out of there. She did not understand that he rose in the power of God. Amen. She didn't understand that. So what does she do? Verse 2, then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre. They, not the Lord, rose, but they have taken him. So she knows the story. Is she giving an accurate account that the Lord's missing? Yes, she is. Is she giving an accurate account that somebody took him away? No, she's not. She's aware of this truth. The Lord is not in the grave. Amen? And that's true today. But not because somebody took him away, but because he's the author of life and he rose again. And so they come and tell the disciples this, and she says, I don't even know where they've laid him. Well, that's true, because he wasn't laying down. Amen? All right, verse 3, Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple came to the sepulcher, so they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. All right, that's John. He's outrun Peter, and he's going to get there first, and he chickens out, doesn't he? Once he gets there, he says, wait a minute, I'm running into an empty grave here. I don't know what's going on here. So they run both together, and verse 4, so they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher, and he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. So he looked at this, and he says, yep, this is missing, this is not right. But then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulcher, and seeth the linen clothes lie. So they both get this glimpse. They see he's not there. Question: do they know the truth at this point? No, they don't. So, verse 6 says, then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulcher, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Another place, the idea was folded. It was all folded up, like it wasn't needed anymore. Praise God. I'm done with this. This is over now. All right. Verse 8. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. Did you see that? Listen, God had to bring him to the place to see and believe. But what were they believing? He's not there. I don't know that they completely fully understand yet what's going on, but they believed the report that Mary was revealing to them, but they still, neither one of them understood about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And why is that? Verse 9, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Question, did the Lord ever tell them that he was going to be crucified during his earthly ministry? Have they heard that more than once? So pray tell, why don't they know? Listen, the same reason why you and I don't know. We're looking hindsight 2020, right? We're seeing the whole story. We should have more faith. By the way, listen, God is wanting you and I to understand one thing, and not that these disciples, they're so slow they don't understand. You and I are in the same boat. We don't even, listen, if we're not careful, we don't really know, was the Lord wanting to communicate something to these disciples specifically? Question. Is the Lord trying to communicate to you and I as his disciples specifically a truth? His will for our lives. Does he not say? Listen, he's got a will for us. You and I will never know it if we think we know it. That'll be all that it... If the disciples just went on, he's dead, and that's it, and they didn't venture to seek, they would have never found out the truth. And if we're not careful, we're not seeking what the Lord is trying to speak to us. We're just hearing doctrine and we're just hearing theology, but we're missing the personal link that the Lord wants into your life and into my life. And so, as we consider this here, we find that they didn't understand this. Look at verse 10. In fact, let's put 9 and 10 together. For as they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. They didn't know that. What'd they do? Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. That's a sad way to go home. Listen, it is a sad way to go home not getting anything more than what you have right now in your walk with the Lord. It's a sad state of affairs. If you just get the same thing over and over again, it's not because God's not trying to speak to us. It's because the natural mind blocks and confounds the spiritual truth. And if you don't think you have a problem with that, my goodness, you are further away from a revelation from the Lord than you can ever even imagine. Listen, I need God. I don't just come up with these ideas. The Lord reveals these truths and says, this is how, as Brother Roger so aptly says, that we might take it out the door. That means that we might own that we might be brought to the place of resting in this truth, that it might apply, be applicable into our lives. Because if we don't have more light into our life, by the way, the oil that you have for the day is just simply that. The bread that you've been given for the day, give us this day our daily bread, is just for the day. The spiritual food has to be, you can't hoard it up. It'll begin to stink. And you know what people will see? Oh, look at that. They're just, you know, telling me how bad my life is. They'll misunderstand. If we are in the natural realm and we are not being given anything new from the Lord, then whatever manna we think we have is going to breed worms. In other words, we are not going to influence anybody for the cause of Christ. In fact, what we might be doing is maybe bragging to people about how much we know about the Bible, but what we really don't realize is we're revealing how little we know of Jesus. And so God says, listen, I want my people to be a peculiar people. I want my people to be a holy people. The Bible says, don't drink wine wherein is what? Let's try that again. The Bible says, don't drink wine wherein is what? But be ye filled with what? The Holy Spirit. So we're good to obey the first commandment. How about the second? How often are we calling upon the Lord and saying, God, are we not indwelt with the Holy Spirit as a saved child of God? But what use is it if we don't hear him? What good is it if he's not doing anything in our lives? Question, and I want you to answer out loud. If you're a saved child of God, are you indwelt with the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay, now was he given for a purpose?
Yes.
He's the paraclete. He's the one that comes alongside to help us. He's the one that points us to all the truths and all the power of God. How effective is he being in your life? If we don't call on him daily and throughout the day to fill us and guide us, I promise you there's only one other way we're going to go, and that's to rely on the natural realm, and we'll miss the Lord. And if we're in the natural realm, you know what we'll do? We'll be afraid. We'll be afraid to tell people about the Lord. How do you know that, Brother George? I want you to know, I've been afraid to tell people about the Lord. It may have been their appearance or whatever. And then there are times where I'm putting to practice what we're talking about here and asking God, Lord, help me to give a tract to somebody. And you know, the Lord has moved me to hand a tract to somebody that looks like they would reject it in a heartbeat. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like rejection. I don't. It makes me feel uncomfortable. It makes me feel rejected. I don't like to be rejected. And the Lord impressed on me to, more than once, give that person a tract. And I'm thinking, I'm hearing things. I don't think that was the Lord. He'd tell me to. And one time I had to go back out to my car and go get one and give it back and give it to this person. And you know what? Each time they said, thank you. And they really were appreciative. And you know what I experienced? I didn't get any rejection. And you know what? The seed has been sown, and yet I get to walk away saying, praise God, to overcome my fears and to trust him. Now, I'm not saying that you ought to give a tract out to everybody that you see. I'm not saying it's a bad thing either. But I'm saying when we're in the Lord, and by the way, even if I get rejected in handing out the gospel tract to anybody, if I'm in the Spirit, I'll be okay with that, because the Bible reminds me, Jesus reminds us, that the world rejected him, and if the world rejected him, they're going to reject us. But wait a minute, what are we trying to give them? God's plan of eternal life. The redemption, the payment for their eternal condemnation. Do you know what the Bible says? We're condemned already. It's not because of what we do and what we don't do. You do know that, right? We're born wrong. We're born sinners. You can't change that. Just like you can't change the nature of a dog from barking. Sometimes they bark at the wind, you know? And for a moment, you'd wish they weren't a dog. But wait a minute, why'd you buy them for in the first place? So the same in our lives, if we're not careful, we just rely upon our nature, and we miss out. God's got to change that. And it's only done through the work of salvation. Notice verse 11, and I want you to see not only Mary's love and pursuit, which brought her to this place of a misunderstood sorrow. Listen to this. Listen. Mary's love and pursuit of God brought her to the place of misunderstood sorrow. She's still not happy, but because she loved the Lord, she was willing to pursue him. Did she understand everything that was going on? Absolutely not. Likewise, in our lives, as we pursue spiritual things, I promise you, you're not going to understand everything, but realize this, God is trying to say something to us, and if we say, Lord, show me. Hell, I don't want to, listen, I don't want to just read for the sake of reading a chapter a day to keep the devil away. I want to hear from God. So notice verse 11, but Mary stood without the sepulcher. Remember what happened with what the other two disciples did? They went home. That was the end of it for them. But she stood without at the sepulcher weeping. She was not ready to go yet. She was wanting some answers. And I would dare say she didn't even know how to ask. And that's okay. God still met her. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. Now, why would she do that? It's God's work. And notice this. And seeth two angels in white sitting at the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Now she's seeing something new. Now, wait a minute. Do you remember where she was at? She was just outside of the sepulcher. Did she notice anybody come and go? She's there. She would have seen them. But now all of a sudden, here are these two angels that are there. And notice this. Listen. And they say unto her, woman, verse 13, why weepest thou? She's having a conversation with angels. I don't even know if she really knew who they were. Do you? And she's having this conversation. Listen. Where was God in the midst of her weeping? Right there. He was right there in her very presence. And so, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, she's giving her problem, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Isn't that something? Verse 14, and when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Did you get that? Isn't that amazing? I mean, there she is. Okay, nobody came, nobody went. And she decides to look down there again and sees one at the foot and one at the head. She is so overwhelmed with grief, it didn't even register, where'd they come from? And she's got this conversation going on with them. And then she walks away or turns away, and guess what? The Lord's there. The truth is, where was the Lord the whole time? He was right there. And same for your life and mine. The Lord is always there. And here's the truth. Ready? We don't always feel that way. We don't. But here's the good news. Ready? But the Lord knows how we feel. And he cares for us. Did he care for Mary? He did. And so, verse 14 again. Now we're going to finish up. Here's Mary's redirected revelation. She's getting this all, she's receiving a revelation, is she not? I mean, the tomb is empty, that's a revelation. The disciples come confirm that the tomb is empty. Then she gets another revelation of two people standing inside the sepulcher. That doesn't compute with her. And she didn't ask where they came from. She's just engaging this conversation, this question. And now she turns around and the Lord's there, but she doesn't know. And again, the redirection of the revelation here for Mary, verse 15, Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" Let me just ask you a real simple question. Did the Lord know why she was weeping? Isn't that something? "They that goeth forth and weepeth shall doubtless come again," amen, "bringing their sheaves with them." And rejoicing is what the psalm tells us. When we go forth weeping, when we are bothered by spiritual things to where we are pursuing and persevering by the grace of God to have understanding, God rewards that kind of faith. See, it's the kind of faith that... and won't go away until the Lord grants the answer. So, look what she says, verse 15. "Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener. Did she need a revelation from the Lord? She thought he was the gardener. "Saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence," if you've taken him away somewhere, "tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." I'll go get him. Where does Mary think he's at? Dead. She's going to take the body and put it where she thinks it needs to go. Jesus saith, listen, and pay special attention to how the Lord reveals. Watch this. Jesus saith unto her, what did he say? Mary. That's, he said, he called her. Remember what the Lord said? "My sheep know my voice, and I call them by name." And so she turned herself and saith unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Did she know now who he was? Let me ask you a question. Peter and John saw the empty tomb like Mary did, but Mary got something different, didn't she? Or maybe I should say something more. See, listen, Peter and John got a certain revelation of some things, but Mary got the best part. Amen? And that's what God is wanting us to understand, that he wants to take away the stone from the sepulcher of our understanding. He wants to give you and I a revelation, a personal revelation of the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ in your personal life. Not for somebody else. He wants to show us how he can bear fruit through our lives. Remember what the Lord said to the disciples in John chapter 15. He said, listen, if you abide in the vine... you're the branches. If you abide in the vine, you're going to bear fruit, and I'm going to make sure you bear much fruit. But without me, you can do what? Nothing. So listen, unless the Lord's involved in it, even what we think we're producing will be nothing. Listen, we can do all kinds of things without the Lord Jesus Christ, but without him, they will not amount to anything. And so that's what we want to do. We want to include the Lord. We want to bring him in. We don't want to just do our own thing. We want God to give us his understanding. Look at verse 17. Jesus saith unto her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God." Talk about family. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Ooh, do you think she was excited about that? Do you think you think she dragged her feet going back to the other disciples? I think she was trying to keep from tripping and running tripping on her way over there to tell them, "Man, I have seen the Lord." Do you think she was a little bit happy? You think she was? Do you know? Listen here. Listen. How does this apply to me? God has a message for you and I that will make us run and tell people that he wants to reveal to us. Let me tell you what the Lord is doing for me and wanting to do. Amen? And showing me in his word. But we must approach the Lord by faith or trust that he will fulfill his promise. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you follow me, I'll show you the way. If you seek me, you'll what?" That's what the Lord said. So this morning, if there's a stone in your way of understanding, if your faith in Christ has just become oh-hum, it may be that you need a revelation, I dare say, We do need a revelation from the resurrected Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, that's God's invitation to your life and mine. How do we get that? Ask Him. Call on Him. And He's promised to show us that He would answer and to show us great and mighty things that we don't even know yet. Would you stand as we prepare for the Lord's invitation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You again for this day that we celebrate a risen Savior. A Savior that is more than alive, Lord, and powerful to open up our hearts and minds to see Your truths, Lord, and to walk in them. Bless Your people. And Lord, if there's one here that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may You speak to them and help them to see their need to know You personally as their Savior. Bless Your word. Bless Your people in this time of opportunity that You give to us to call on You. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.